Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us. This is Truth to Live By, the radio and television broadcast ministry of Reasons for Faith International Ministries. I'm Miguel Gonzalez, your host. We want to welcome again Reverend Cedric Maddox. He was here last week with us. If you joined us last week, you know that we have been talking about Satan. Last week we talked about his work. This week we're going to talk about experiencing victory in spiritual warfare. Thanks for joining us again, Cedric.
Thank you, Dr.
Before we start in today's topic, I want to finish saying something that we had started last week but were unable to finish. And we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. One of the issues that I have with many Christians today, and I'm talking about Christians, I'm not talking about people who don't believe, I'm talking about Christians. They have given up discernment as a discipline.
Yes.
They'll show up in church.
Okay.
They'll listen to the preacher. And if the preacher said it, it must be true.
Yes.
Dangerous.
Very.
I mean, didn't Paul talk against that?
Yes.
Didn't Paul compliment the Bereans for having gone back to the scriptures to make sure that what Paul preached was true?
Yes.
I just get concerned with people who nothing against, you know, there's just too many preachers out there that are preaching heresy.
Yes.
There's too many preachers out there preaching false doctrine. There's too many preachers preaching messages that are inconsistent or contrary to the Word of God, and people are just accepting it as fact because there's a PhD after the person's name or an REV dot before the person's name. We have to be a discerning people.
Yes.
Because the Bible tells us, and that's the passage we were talking about, that if necessary, Satan himself will masquerade as an angel of light.
Yes.
And we have to go back to exercising discernment.
Yes.
The only way we're going to know if a preacher is preaching the truth is by spending time in God's Word and allowing the Spirit of God to teach us that truth so that when a lie comes, we recognize it.
Right.
Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, finishing from last week. This week, experiencing victory in spiritual warfare.
Okay.
Genesis 3:15. Talk a little bit about that passage, Cedric.
Well, what we see here in Genesis 3:15 is basically the fleshing out, or the beginning of the fleshing out, of how God sets the end from the beginning. The fall has happened. Man now is sinful. And in Genesis 3:15, God lets us know that I knew you were going to do this, and I have a way of escape for you. He says, I will put enmity between thee, he's talking about the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
What was God, in essence, saying here?
What God was saying was that there is going to be discord. There is going to be friction. There is going to be conflict. There is just simply going to be war between Jesus the Christ, who would come by the Virgin Mary, and between Satan himself. And Satan, he's going to bruise your head. He's going to crush you. He's going to defeat you. And you may bruise his heel, but he's going to have victory over you.
In essence, what he was predicting.
He was predicting the crucifixion and the resurrection.
And the defeat of Satan.
And the total
defeat of Satan. The ultimate
defeat of
Satan.
The ultimate defeat of Satan.
You know, it's funny because, you know, Satan is acquainted with what the Word of God says.
Very.
Satan knows his future.
Right.
Yet knowing that, he still attempts or seems to somehow imply that the crucifixion was the demise of God's plan of salvation. Hmm. Knowing all along that there was going to be a resurrection. Mm-hmm. It's when you start thinking about stuff like that, it's sometimes hard to reconcile how Satan even operates and functions, knowing many things. I mean, we know what he knows, what his demise is. I mean, he knows what the future holds for him.
Right.
He knows that the book of Revelation says that at some point after the millennium kingdom, he's going to be thrown into hell to mm-hmm. be forever.
Forever.
You know, but we know for a fact, and I was mentioning to you this right before the program started, you know, that where I work, there's a lady who works in a department neighboring mine, and every time I walk by her desk, I see written, I can't remember what she's written it on, but it's big letters, mm-hmm. and she has written on that piece of paper, "The devil has already been defeated."
Yes.
That's essentially what this passage is telling us.
He's already been defeated.
That in spite of everything.
Yes.
Christ mm-hmm. is victor.
Yes.
And because of our personal relationship with Christ, in essence, we're victors.
Yes.
Because our life is hidden with Christ in God.
Yes.
What else? Anything else you want to say about this passage? Because there's a few more passages we can get to.
Well, let's move on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's look. Okay, so first of all, we find that in Genesis, God predicts... Mm-hmm. That Christ would be victorious, and of course, you know, if God says something,
mm-hmm. you can believe it.
You can believe it.
Because he's all truth.
He's all truth. You know, it's one of the great things about God, unlike men, is that he's the only one I know mm-hmm. that has, does, and will keep every single promise he makes. Even if we doubt it sometimes.
Yes.
He keeps his promises.
Yes.
We just finished a series in prophecy, and as we went through the book of Revelation and looked at the time of the tribulation, I mean, what a devastating time in world history, mm-hmm. in human history. But everything we see in the book of Revelation is going to pass because God said it would.
Right.
And that's the God we serve, and that's the God to whom we have a relationship with. Mm-hmm. Well, Satan's defeat is predicted. Now, how are we going to experience victory in spiritual warfare? What are some practical things that the Word of God says that we need to do in order to experience victory? James 4:7, for example.
Yes.
Tells us, this is, you know, easier read
than done.
Submit yourselves then to God. Mm-hmm. Resist the devil.
Yes.
And he will flee from you.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, easier said than done. One of those things where once again you have to make a choice and enact your free will, okay, and do it by faith to submit to God, give up, yield, become obedient to the Word of God. Okay, draw nigh. How do we draw nigh? Well, first of all, I submit. Second of all, I praise. And the devil will flee from you. Not for you to stand there to combat, but allow.
That's an important point.
I mean, who are we to combat the prince of the air?
Who are we to even think we can do that?
A master scientist. The greatest illusionist, huh? The most wonderful liar, celestial being, and yet we are not able or we try to make ourselves feel good that we can do these things and that and those things. No. Why not have the one who created him, the one who has all power, not just some power, but all power, to fight for you?
Yeah. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ.
Yes.
Not in his own power.
Yes.
But in the power of Christ.
Yes.
But every day that we still try. We still try to exercise our will to fight Satan on our own.
On our own.
Always to land on our back.
Yeah.
And we still don't learn.
Yeah.
But listen to, and this is important because he says the devil will flee if you resist. But resistance comes as a result of submission.
Yes.
We talked about this several weeks ago. I had Minister Wesley Blunt on the program, and we were talking about faith. We talked about Abraham, and we talked about Moses, and made reference to Peter and Paul, and we talked about the fact that they were great men of God. Yet none of them ever took credit for anything they accomplished for God.
Yes.
Because they always understood that that which was done by God through them.
Right.
They partnered with God. And all they did, all they contributed to that partnership was submission and surrender.
Yes.
God did the rest.
Right.
This is what he's telling us.
Yes.
Submit. Surrender. You will resist as a result of submitting and surrendering, and then the devil will flee.
And then he will flee.
Then he will flee.
Then he will flee. Romans tells us, you know, that we ought to follow after the Spirit, not after the flesh, to make no room for the flesh. Any time that we do not submit, we have automatically followed after the flesh.
Yeah.
I mean, Ephesians 4:26 through 27 says, be angry, but sin not, and make no place, no provision for the devil. And the only way we can do that is to wholeheartedly submit.
Yeah.
Submit.
Yeah. There's another passage that talks about or gives us instruction on how what we ought to do in order to experience victory. That's 1 Peter 5:9. And this is what Peter, and you know, we remember Peter's experience. This is the man who is now teaching us how to experience victory. This is the man who at one point had denied his Savior. He learned,
he learned
by experience how to be victorious in spiritual warfare. Listen to what he said in verse 9. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Standing firm in the faith. Submit, stand. Submit, stand. But listen, if I'm going to submit, if I know that I am to submit, and I know that I am to stand, what do I have to do in order to do those things? That may have sounded completely confusing. I must, God's telling me what to do.
Right.
What do I have to do?
In order to do those
obey?
Things, you got to obey. And the way that we know how to obey, when to obey, is by being, I like verse 8. To couple with this.
Okay.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, isn't it always, I don't know about you, but I know in my walk, you know, how in the world did I find myself flat on my back with my faith? Why? Maybe I'm not being sober. Maybe I'm not vigilant at a time. And all of a sudden, I'm caught. And now I'm not standing, but I'm caught off guard. we have to always be watching, always be careful, every situation. You may mention earlier, Christians being discerning. Mm-hmm. We have to do that.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, it's a command.
Yes.
To be discerning. But you bring up an interesting point in looking at verse 8. I mean, you don't get in trouble when you happen to not be doing what God says and bump into the devil.
Right.
He's prowling.
Yes.
He's prowling.
Yes.
And he's just waiting.
Yes.
He's just waiting for you to step a little bit further away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Just to pounce on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we know he does because, you know, oftentimes we find ourselves precisely on our backs trying to figure out what happened.
What happened?
You know, it's not that God walked away.
No.
It's that we walked away.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's when we get into a lot of trouble.
Yes,
yeah. So clearly, James and Peter, and there's many passages from Paul's writings that clearly tell us that if we are going to experience victory, we must submit and obey to God's commands.
Yes.
These are not optional.
No.
And God has never given us the right to decide what we will do and not do.
Right.
If we don't follow what he says, and we don't have to, free will.
Right,
but
exactly.
We will find the consequences.
We'll find ourselves in the consequences.
Another thing that we're told to do
is
pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. Philippians chapter 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, this is a hard discipline.
Very.
I mean, I don't know about you, but this is something that I have to more deliberately than anything else will to do. Prayer does not necessarily come easy. It's hard work.
Yes.
You know, I can sit down and read scripture. I can sit down and read books. I can sit down and study and write, and I can talk.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is challenging, and I know by their own testimony that even great Christians throughout church history have confessed their own struggle with the discipline of prayer, with the command to pray. It's hard work. But in Philippians chapter 4, in verses 6 and 7, this is what Paul said. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer. What has your experience been with that particular discipline?
Once again, it's one of those things that you have to work at.
Mm.
Have been there where prayer is not convenient.
Mm.
Life is hectic, it's busy, and you want to take aside that time to be in prayer, and you try to find the perfect time, and then the perfect time never comes. And so I find myself praying at times when I know I'm not going to be interrupted, like when I'm on my way to work. You know, of course, can't close my eyes, but definitely can have a conversation
with
God.
Please don't close your eyes.
Definitely can have a conversation with God.
Yeah.
And so having to find myself, you know, seeking times to pray.
I think prayer, I mean, in my mind, is one of the ultimate expressions of real faith.
Okay.
Because it's a time when you're getting together with a God you don't see.
Mm.
You're talking, conversing with somebody who you are trusting.
Yes.
Is hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to you, and at some point in his timetable, answering you. That to me is really a great illustration and expression of faith.
It is such an illustration of faith because we look at this particular passage of scripture: be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
But not only are you not going to be anxious, but you're going to come again to the God that you don't see. You got to have faith to come with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
How many of us actually pray with a heart of thanksgiving?
During the anxious times we're not supposed
to. Doing the anxious times. I mean, thanking God. I mean, if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast your cares, what?
Yeah.
Upon him.
Yeah.
I'm going to cast my cares. I mean, I got a mortgage due. The transmission just went out. I got a call from the school. I get to work and the goals are, it's the third week of the month and I still need to make my sales goals. I mean, all of that going on. And, you know, there's pressure. But yet, I'm going to cast those cares and be thankful in the midst of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's faith.
That's faith.
That's real faith.
That's faith. One of my favorite passages is this one that I learned very young in my Christian life, and it's just been one that I've, you know, is quite meaningful to me, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think this is what prayer is.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting in the Lord with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, leaning not on our own understanding. Boy, that's tough.
Wow.
That's tough. Because, listen, we are... Faith requires us to walk knowing that God will accomplish things that our minds cannot even begin to comprehend.
Wow.
That's faith.
Yes.
And then he says, he will make, let's see, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him,
mm-hmm.
and he will make your path straight.
Mm. Watch that. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I mean,
he will. It's all about him.
It's all about him.
We surrender, we submit. He does.
He does. And that just reminds me, he will keep you.
Yeah.
Because what happens when we're anxious?
Mm-hmm.
What happens? We begin to act on our own
mm-hmm.
understanding. And we end up in the midst of evil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
But here it says in verse 7 in that Philippians passage that he shall keep, he shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Guard us from doing and being in the midst of thoughts, being in the midst of evil, thoughts of evil, committing sin, which leads. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but what is in leads to destruction, death.
God saves. God sustains.
Yes. Yeah.
I contributed nothing to my salvation.
Hmm.
It's all God.
It's all God.
I do nothing to persevere. It is God who causes me to persevere.
Yes.
If it were up to me, I'd lose my salvation tomorrow.
Wow.
He saves me.
Yes.
He keeps me.
Yes.
He saves me. He keeps me.
Yes.
One more passage before we get towards the end of our program. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18.
Hmm.
And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Yes.
Prayer, 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 prayer. I mean, if we are going to experience victory in warfare, we must be a people of prayer. Tough.
Tough.
But we can do it.
Yes.
In His strength and power. We've got 30 seconds left, Cedric. Anything you want to tell the audience in 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds, I just want to reiterate the fact it is warfare. But guess what? Romans 8 and 28. For we know that all things work together for the good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Mm-hmm. It's to the good. It's for the good.
Yeah.
And it's going to be good.
Well said. And I know, testify that that's true because I've experienced that. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Please tune in next week for another 30 minutes of Truth to Live By. Thank you, Cedric.
Thank you.